Message, M028, The Great Deliverance. A word given by Cecil J. DeCille, 29th of January, 1971.
I just depend on what the Lord brings to me. When I get into the place of God and the word just comes flowing. And this morning, a peculiar looking thing comes to me so strongly. It blots out everything else from my mind, and I couldn't preach another message if I tried to. I couldn't percolate. So what comes to me here is Isaiah. I've given up on trying to say Isaiah. Yeah, I can say it, but I've got to think to say it. I just say Isaiah normally. And I go to say, you see, I have to stop, go to say schedule. I have to stop because I'm going to say schedule. I'm going to say Z. I have to pause because I'm going to say Z. Oh, you are a wretched set. You call the words the wrong side. Let's turn to Isaiah now. 14. And what the Lord brings to me as a topic this morning is the great deliverance. That the world is burdened, not because of because we have done anything wrong. We were born in a burdened realm. A realm that is under the oppression of something that we didn't even know. Something so great and terrible that it clutches us into its clutches. And God is giving us the tools whereby we might escape and be delivered. So we turn to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 3 we begin with. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. I want you to know why God used this analogy. Because somebody doesn't understand that right through the Bible, in God's speech, the language of God, He used metaphors to explain everything that He's going to say. And my first understanding as a child of what a metaphor was came from my mother. She had the very peculiar way of calling you names that you act like. So one day I rushed upon my motorcycle, a big powerful cycle, and I jumped off even before the thing had stopped. And she said, Jehu, son of Nimshi. I know she was speaking of me, but Jehu was the man who drove the chariot very hard, you know. And when they saw a chariot coming hard across, they said, that must be Jehu. The driving is like the driving of Jehu. So my mother wouldn't call me Cecil or Massa, as she used to call me. But she'd say, Jehu, son of Nimshi. And I understood very perfectly what a metaphor means. A metaphor is like you look at a nice looking fellow and say, "You jackass." He doesn't have a tail and he doesn't look like a jackass, but he acts like one. And so you didn't call him John Brown, you said jackass. So that's a metaphor. Now when God looks at the people who have gone after Baal and he calls them Babylon, he is calling them by the name of the first Antichrist. Nimrod, he was called Lord. And they would bow to him and say Baal, because Baal means Lord. And because they called him Baal, then the tower he built, they call it Babel. That's Tower of Baal. And the city he built, they call it Babylon. So God, in speaking of the great rebellion against him, he speaks of Babylon. And the king of Babylon is the devil. Amen. So if you notice, he's using a man as a type of the devil. And somebody misunderstood God entirely. One sister tells me she is sure that the devil is a man. She's sure that the devil is a man. I said, "Where on earth you got that?" She said, "It's right in your Bible there." And she showed me that he said other men, but you, and refer to him as a man. But God was using a man to show a man who was rising up in the earth, Tyrus, who was rising up and thought he was Lord of all he surveyed. And God was showing him that the same thing that happened to the devil is going to happen to him. He'll be cast down. Simple as all that. So before we go any further, we will understand that. Verse 5, "The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth." I want you to see the picture. This is the picture of the devil and the oppression of the human race. When we lay down our lives, when we fight to come into God's power and into God's kingdom, we are not doing it for ourselves only, but for the whole human race. This is why God calls this group of people an army, because it is the army that goes out and delivers the whole country and endanger their own lives for the rest. So God is saying that in the earth there was a continuous oppressor. My God, when you look at this work of the devil, your soul grieve within you. I tell you, I know today that I am too weak to receive the power of God. For if God give me power this morning, I would grab a hold of the devil and he would never have a chance in time and eternity. I wouldn't even let him out after 1,000 years. And I'd spoil God's business. Amen. Because I am anxious to get him. I feel that the oppression is so great when I look at humanity. The most beautiful, the most glorious thing on God's earth is humanity. And when you go down some of these places and you see human beings, my God, the conditions seem, it seems so impossible for them to be reclaimed, that it break your heart. Amen. The low depths of degradation to which the devil haul humanity. None of those human beings want to be down there. But they are down there in dope and they're down there in all manner of things. I remember a woman came to the service one night. A friend brought her. And this is what we talked about last night, the arms of God reaching out into the public. My God, this girl was so hurt by what Satan was doing. People, not her loved ones, but people. And she heard about this woman, and she went to look for her 40 miles away, just to get to know her, to see if she has a heart to be delivered. Here was her husband, beat down. A man who worked all his life. His wife that he loves, taken by alcoholism. And she was so taken 30 years, an alcoholic, that her face was distorted. You know when alcohol makes your face distorted? The man himself striving and striving and striving. He himself got some disease of the lungs. Forgot the name of it. Emphysema, good. Emphysema, good. And he find himself going down, find her going down. It was a time they could relax back and enjoy some of what they had labored for. But no enjoyment. Here she's an alcoholic, drunk all the while. So they dragged her into this service, tag her in, and with her eyes all turned over. And she flopped down in a seat there. Oh God, our souls went out to God for her. This is the God we want. The woman came up and we lay hands on her. It wasn't half a minute. Not even half a minute as we rebuked that alcoholic demon. A big ball just came right up like a football. And the thing rolled. Ah, it was magnificent to look at. And it burst through her mouth. And she screamed in joy. Completely sober. She was praising Jesus. Thanking God for the blood. Nobody told her about the blood. 30 years she was under the influence of alcohol. And she began to scream and praise God for the blood of Jesus and the love of God. I never knew you would save me, she said. Amen. She said, I never knew. And that brings such a joy to your heart to see another human being delivered from the bondage of a brute who has no sense. No sense, no love, no mercy. He killed the dying. Yes, and that is the thing we call the devil. It's not of our realm, it's not of our God. It's when a man say it, God made the devil, may God have mercy on him. Amen. May God have mercy on him. Because that doctrine comes from hell. God could not make the devil. For he is too diabolical, too much contrary to God. He's entirely opposite to God. Man has the power to create and to make, much the more Lucifer, the bright morning star. He had the power. Many of the angels who are now in heaven had the power to create a devil, and they did not. But he wanted to lift his throne above God. He had the taste of power, and he wanted to be God. And the Bible said so. And so he lifted himself, and trying to lift himself, he was cast down. For he knew what would happen, but he desired to be entirely opposite to God. And so he is. And this is the thing that is oppressing our realm. This is the thing that God has called you people here to release, to loose the bondage, to set the captives free. This is your calling. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, He who smote the people in wrath with a continuous stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hinder it. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid low, no fella is come up against us. Amen. Amen. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It had raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vials, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down, cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Could this be Adam? Could this be Adam God is talking? Did Adam have any such relationship with God? Did Adam have a throne? Did Adam have such power? Could Adam be called Lucifer?
No.
I say that the error of some of our preachers have got to be exposed to save the people.
Yes.
Many of you have read something or the other recently being put out about this refers to Adam. It's nothing but a little stupid lie that the devil is trying to tell. God couldn't speak to Adam like this. Amen. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Amen. I want you to know that this happened before Adam was born. Because the Bible said that Jesus Christ was slain from before the foundation of the world. Amen. So it means that these things, this falling of the devil, occurred before mankind was. Amen. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Now this is where some people said that it was speaking of man. But this thing, he was here using an analogy. Amen. To draw with the mighty king of Babylon and with the devil. Amen. So here the word is used man. It doesn't mean that he was speaking to man alone. He was showing using one to show the other. Just shall Satan fall into hell, so shall every man that rises up and puts his kingdom above God. That did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners, all the kings of the earth, of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now, if we apply that to the devil, let us see what is meant. Everybody who followed the devil is destroyed. He first started a rebellion in heaven, and some angels followed after him. And instead of the angels receiving a kingdom as he had promised them, they received destruction. Amen. Right now, the angels whom he has taken out of heaven, they are all disappointed and broken, because he promised them a kingdom. He gave them a kingdom, and now they have just found out that they are going to be cast out of the kingdom. For their kingdom is the human race, and there are some human beings who they can't touch. And this is why they are fighting. This is why they are excited, because they see man rising up in the earth. I want you to remember when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples, and he told them to go and to cast out demons. Brethren, I want you to remember that those children were not saved. Those boys and girls whom he sent out to cast out the devils were not saved. They could not have been saved but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood wasn't yet shed, but upon the authority that Jesus had, he gave them authority to go and have power over demons. And just the authority, Jesus rejoiced greatly when they returned, and he said, I see Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Amen. Now blessed be to God Almighty. There were three heavens. Amen. In the realm of God, we call this heaven number one. Amen. Three heavens. Another heaven, we call it the starry heaven. That doesn't look good. Starry heavens. Number two, heaven number two. And the heaven of man's soul. Because the Bible shows us that heaven is the dwelling place of God. Wherever God dwells, there is heaven. Therefore, God dwells up here, and God has his mighty ones here in the second realm of the first heaven. You see, we're talking about inner space now. Amen. In the second realm of the first heaven, we have the mighty ones, Gabriel, Michael, and all these archangels, and where Lucifer used to be. This second realm is where the mighty ones are, which God refers to in this chapter we are reading as stones of fire. Now they dwell here. Then in what Paul called the third heaven, men are there taught to come into God and to be filled with the Christ Spirit. Those who die and they didn't get the fullness of God's message worked in them, they have got to remain in this heaven until they receive the fullness of God's message worked in them, because man is slated to be in a way up there in the first heaven with God, where Jesus Christ is. But man has got to be taught, and the Bible said that a son, when he is under tutors, he is no different from a servant. So this is the dwelling place of the servants. And that third heaven, which is the dwelling place of the servants, we learn that from the scripture, which said that the spirits of God, the angels of God, are what? Ministering spirits. The angels of God are ministering spirits. And when it was used in the Bible, the word minister did not have the sophisticated meaning as it has now. Minister was not yet exalted to wear a collar and a white and be an executive. That's not what minister meant in the language of the Bible. Minister meant servant.
Amen.
And service meant slave. So, hey man, when we said minister, it was from the Latin word minister, and the Greek word is very near to that too. It's minister, meaning servant, and service means slave. So they didn't use service, saying the spirits of God are servants to men, in that sense slaves, but they are servants. And so the servants are the servants to the heirs of salvation, and we are the heirs of salvation. Therefore the spirits of God are definitely made to serve us.
Amen.
And that is their destiny. Now they are part of the church. They are part of us. And we can't walk or move without them, because these servants are, as Paul put it, he said, tutors and governors. They guide our steps and they help us and they deliver us on the roads and they deliver us at home and they keep us and be our guardian angels. As the Bible said, even the little children have guardian angels. When I consider some things we did when we were children, I wonder why we lived anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. I just wonder why we live. Five of us jumped on a bicycle, and there were the cactus two sides and a little narrow track down a hill going round a sharp curve, and down we went. Five of us on the one bicycle, woo, round the curve every day. That was fun. When you consider it, we must have had some very strong guardian angels. Very strong guardian angels. So we find that these angels work within this realm and within our realm, amen, work to and fro, and they carry out the orders of Almighty God who sits in the highest heaven. Amen. Now we come down to the starry heavens. Jesus said, I see Satan like lightning fall from the starry heavens. That's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about the time long ago when he saw Satan fall. He was talking about right then when the boys went and kick the devil out of their fellow men for the first time, amen, in the history of humanity. Human beings were slamming Satan out of human beings. And blessed be to God Almighty, Jesus rejoiced. And he said, boy, your time is short. Man is rising up in the earth to take back his kingdom. Because the kingdom and the realms of earth belong to man. Amen. Satan shouldn't be commanding the weather. Satan shouldn't be commanding the weather, sending a storm, killing when he wants to kill. Amen. We should speak to the weather and say, turn back. Amen. We said we want sunshine down here. Amen. And the clouds depart because every atom, you know, it might sound far-fetched, but it's as simple as ABC. Every atom in the realms of God are under the control of the spirits. Amen. And if an evil spirit stir up some atoms to cause a storm, you can quiet them by the power of God. We have seen storms behave very peculiar. A storm came down in Jamaica and began to hit the country, and the churches called for prayer, and every church went down in prayer, and the storm didn't even turn around. It went backwards, outside back. Withdraw back out and went out at sea, and the sun broke out, and everybody wondered what happened. Switch on your radio to hear what happened. And the storm, with its 140-mile winds, pulled back out of the island, went out to sea, stood up a little while, and went and hit Castro. And it was the funniest behaving storm we had ever seen, because it went to and fro, up and Castro, up and down. For several days, the storm was going back and forth inside of Cuba like this, and just wrecking Cuba. Never before they ever had such a storm. See, we didn't send it, but we got it out of Jamaica. I mean, that you have the power, but we are children. Yes. Little children. As John the Beloved said, my little children. Oh my God, he used a word which meant my little tots. Amen. And so, we see here, God bringing Satan working in the realms of our earth, because he was cast out of number one, number two, and he has nowhere else to go but number three. So don't let this contradict anybody now. Some of our brethren preach that there are three heavens, and I agree with them. You see, because everything God makes is three. It's in threes, and it's three in threes, and three in three in three in three, and three in three in three in three in three in threes. Therefore, it's a splitting of inner space. I'll explain that to you. You've got one heaven up here, which is God's heaven, which are divided into three realms. We hear the Bible speak of God in the highest heaven, and highest must be three, right? Then we hear Paul said the third heaven. So if there is a third heaven, there must be a one and two. Amen. So we conclude there that there were three heavens in God's heaven. But don't quarrel with anybody over that. Let me tell you something. There are more than three in the trees. Because this is divided into three sections, this in three sections, this in three sections. And every being within the thing is himself three. And every tree within his tree are trees. And let me just analyze one tree for you. Let's analyze our realm. Our realm is the soul realm, and our being is divided into three. that is the heaven of God, that we are the spirit, the soul, and the body, is one heaven, but it's divided into three sections. Right? Good. And God occupies one section, just as God occupies up here. Now, the other two sections need to be taken. And this is where the war is. Now, we have, therefore, the soul is divided into three. The soul itself is divided into three. We have the mind as one distinct realm, and the feelings realm as another distinct realm, which includes the emotions and the will and the desires. You see, both emotions and desires are part of one realm, which is the feelings, and the will is another realm by itself. So the trees are divided into trees. And if we get into it, the mind also has three sections. And if we get into it, the emotions has three sections. And if we get into it, the desires has three sections. And if we get into it, the will have three sections. Amen. So that you can be in God's will and not in God's will at all, and still in your will. You're in God's permissive will, and yet your will is working there in another section of your will. So, amen. The will, you can be in this man's will, working in Rick's will, and yet in your own will, working out something within his will. You're working your will, and yet God's permissive will is allowing all this thing to go on, yet that is not God's direct will. So you can well see what I'm talking about, that in the realms there are realms. And in our material world, it is the same. God, man cannot fathom God. Because we go into an atom, and we see the atom has three parts. And when you go into the three parts of the three parts, you find three parts. And man has finally thrown his hands up and said, well, inner space. And his thought is that inner space is as vast and as eternal and as everlasting as outer space. You cannot fathom neither inner space nor outer space, because the realms are all split in different realms. So if you're going to say there are three heavens, you must be limiting your talk to a certain section of God's heaven. For in the tree there are threes, and right here we have nine. Right before us here we have nine heavens, which we don't know enough about to preach about. Amen. So this is what Satan had to do. He was in the first heaven. And anything that happens in heaven is manifested in all the realms of heaven. Anything that happens in earth is manifested in all the realms of earth. That is why the thoughts of this man might not be known to anybody. But give him a little time and his thoughts are going to come out through him. He's going to begin to manifest his thoughts. And the next thing happen, he will impress somebody else, somebody on earth. And he'll take earth by just the thoughts that he had within him, because it's going to radiate and take other people. Praise be to God. So, if I'm not going too far, you will understand what the 14th chapter of Isaiah is talking about. It's talking about a devil that fell from the highest heaven, that fell into the second heaven, that fell into the third heaven. And when he falls from the third heaven, there's no place for him to go. That's what we call the bottomless pit. Amen. So when some of us are rebuking the devil and you say, go back to the pit, Satan never came from the pit. I mean, it's a term that we use all the while. I think demons just laugh at you when you tell them that. because this demon that I spoke to, he said, I said, do you know heaven? And he looked at me scornfully and said, where do you think I came from? And he put me on the defensive immediately. Where do you think I came from? He came from heaven. Amen. And he was some bright one in heaven. And he made himself into a devil. So we find that the third realm of heaven, which is the human realm, our human body, our human soul, this is where the warfare is, and this is where the devil is fighting to retain. He is being attacked now, and being attacked, and being cast out of the human realm. And we understand the law of the spirit, that no devil can remain in you if you don't want him. If you don't feed him, if you rebuke him, if you cast him out, he has got to go. Amen. So the devil's whole plan now is to get people to want him. Therefore, beloved brethren, when the realm of your desires are purified, the devil can't stay. It's as simple as all that. If you have no desire, you have no want. You know, in simple things, I notice Satan has such a big hand. We wanted a car. And we wanted a car for no other reason but to run on God's business. No other reason, absolutely no other reason. And my God, I see 4 months of testing and testing and trial and testing as to whether I did really want one for God's business, or as to if I would want one for some prestige or something else. And yet the devil ought to know that I have no prestige. Oh, he should know by now. But he gave me a hard time testing me. And I knew he was, for he would torment me at times. And sometimes I'd almost give up and say, I'll take anything. I'll just go take that. And he was all the while trying to get me to get the wrong thing, so that I'll get messed up and break down and can't meet my appointments. Amen. Praise be to God. Simple things. Your soul is being tested. Well, brethren, those of you who are not married and looking a husband or a wife, you need God. Amen. You tell me, you need God. Because the greatest blessing that the devil could get is to catch you in a marriage that is going to tie you hand and foot. Amen. And to prevent you going on for God. I have had the experience. I'm on the other side of the experience. I have been a young man. Have known the Lord. Have wanted a wife. Have gone to God. Have got many coming that I could marry and be done with it. Oh, sweet Christian girls. But deep down in my stubborn heart, I had a feeling that God had something for me, that when I saw it, I would know it. Therefore, my desires were curbed and held back until God said, here you are. And I tell you, I never knew, that's the truth, I just never knew I would have somebody who would go through the hell of serving God with a wretched fellow like I am, who didn't care too much about even life sometimes when I'm after something for God, didn't care about life. Somebody who would walk side by side with you miles and miles over steep hills, deep mountain paths, go days upon days without food, suffer without complaint and with complete joy, part of a work that we didn't even know what we were doing. A man who could take care of his family, who could have a good job, who gave up his good position in government and began to walk without shoes over hills and mountains without clothes. A woman who could stay 5 years, 6 years, 7 years without ever getting a dress. Only had to be using probably something that somebody had given her just for one purpose, one set purpose, to get the soul of man and to break the power of the devil over mankind. Amen. Not asking to do it, but just willingly want to do it too, because I am part of the work. And God had to find somebody who would do that. Somebody who would give up your home, forget your home, a woman to forget her home that she had worked for and all the treasure that home brings, and get out on the road and not remember to go back home. For the kingdom of God's sake, it's got to be God. Young people, you've got to be on your toes in God, because the devil is out to take our realm, and this is what he does. Your desires and your emotions are the areas in which he works to destroy you and to form a will that is contrary to God Almighty. He makes your mind like an eagle fly over all the world and look at the beauty of it and said, look at the kingdoms of the world, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt bow down and worship me. And so this is the devil, to be cast out of the third realm. Now what does it mean? This realm is a last place that Satan could dwell, for Satan must also dwell in a heaven, and he must also dwell in God's heaven. And to be cast out of the heaven is to be in a place that he cannot stand, no place at all. Now, let me explain that to you. The realm that God is talking about, the bottomless pit that God is talking about, no pit can be a pit without a bottom. For if it is a pit without a bottom, it's not a pit. Therefore, God is speaking of something else beside what our finite minds can conjure. Amen. And the only way, as I asked God to show me, the only way that I could understand it is in electricity and electronics. Sounds are here in this room, sounds that we cannot hear with our ears, because they are on a different frequency. If Satan were blasted off into a different frequency, he could not reach us if he is even here. He couldn't touch us, he couldn't come near us, we wouldn't sense him, he wouldn't sense us, because he's on a different frequency and we could not pick him up, neither could he pick us up. And this is what God means by the bottomless pit. Amen. Amen. The frequency of our minds is higher than the frequency of our bodies. The frequency of God is higher than the frequency of Michael. The frequency of Michael is higher than the frequency of the third heaven. The frequency of the third heaven is higher than the frequency of man's mind. Spirit. Man's spirit. The frequency of man's spirit is higher than the frequency of man's soul or mind. The frequency of man's mind is higher than the frequency of man's body. Therefore, God reaches man's body by a number of clouds. Amen. Coming through clouds, he insulates himself. Cut down his power so that you can have God without destruction. For God's presence is too powerful for man to stand. Therefore, when we could go a little further, and the frequency of man is still higher. Man's mind is still higher than the lower regions, hell. So hell is the lowest, and man is in between, and his body is a contact point. Now, Satan used to draw him down to hell, and the other link of the chain hooked to the spirit, and the spirit drawing you up to heaven. Amen. That's why Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men towards me. Glory to God. Because the frequency of his spirit was hooked onto God with great lifting power. And the frequency of his mind was hooked onto his body. And he was saying, if this body increases its frequency and be lifted up, it will lift all men's bodies and spirits and souls up towards heaven. The reason Jesus passed through the wall and came out through the wall, stood up before the brethren, he says, feel me, I am flesh and bone as you, I'm not spirit. The reason he did it is that he was on a different frequency from the world. Therefore he passed through the world without touching it. Right here this morning, you bring a radio in here, you switch the dial of that radio and you pick up one radio station, and you turn the dial a little and you pick up another radio station. You have switched the frequencies, and you know what happens? Those two sounds pass through each other and don't mix. Those two sounds are not in the same world. And it's different. It's hard to understand. But with a spiritual mind, brethren, you will understand it. What God is doing to us by the incursion of the Spirit is increasing the frequency of mortals into an immortal realm, where we are lifted to a place that we can understand and see God. We are being lifted out of the world, the carnal realm. And Lord God, help us. When we reach up there, you know what we're going to see down here? Nothing but a mirage. It was only a dream. It was only a dream. And we are going to realize that reality was in another realm. And this was the realm of the dreamers. It's difficult to conceive that a dream could be so real. But by the action of the spirit, material things can just pass away. Material things can be created. Material things can be made of non-effect. If that is the case, it means that this thing was not real. It was made to appear. It was made to appear. But the real things are which we cannot see floating around us, and we cannot see them. These are the real things. And we have been swapping and selling the unreal for the real, because we are children. Like what we used to do with our little brother. Amen. He's a big preacher now, but we used to go to him with a shine penny. And if he had a dime or a quarter, we would, the pennies big in Jamaica, big thing. We would shine it up, shine it with brass polish, and it just glistens and said, boy, isn't this pretty? Could I have it? He said, well, you know, well, since we love you, we would just give you it. And he would quickly throw away that dime or that quarter, which value so many more times, and we would just take the dime and give him the penny, and oh, he would be happy. Children, the mind of a child. So we can see, brethren, God bringing us up by His Spirit. I know what I'm saying sounds like foolishness to some people, but you know, God showed me that the fire is the element that increases the frequency of anything. If you add fire to anything, it increases the frequency and changes its form. And that is why God always writing in the Bible about the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many of us do not understand these terms. God says the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Why fire? Because God is trying to show us in our natural minds what's happening to you when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He brings fire. He brings a substance that increases the frequency of your soul and lifts you from carnal thinking to spiritual thinking. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost and fire. And blessed be to God, we find fire in another realm. When God blasts off the devil upon an off frequency that he can't reach back here and fix a gulf between him and us, it will be a gulf of intense fire that will so increase its frequency that it will decrease. And he will be off. I want to explain to you again the wisdom of God's Bible and the knowledge and the glory that is coming forth in a time when it's only this time that you could preach a message like this. My God, they'll take me off to the asylum before the message is over. As God bring these things to me, I just hand them to you. the man that Jesus gave a parable. And he said there was a certain man named Lazarus who sat at the gate of a rich man, and this rich man fared sumptuously, etc., and he would feed his dogs, and Lazarus would get a little from what the dog received, the crumbs from the table. And the dogs would lick Lazarus' sores. That means he was anemic. His body cells were breaking down because he didn't have enough nourishment. And he had sores that couldn't get better because of poverty. And in this abject poverty, his mind was not in poverty. He didn't care about his body. He cared about his soul. And he was in heavenly places while the dogs were licking his sores. It so happened that both men died. And Lazarus was carried to a place of comfort, which the Jews in their traditions call the Abraham's bosom. But I do not see how Jesus could speak to a people unless Jesus used the language of the people. So Jesus was not subscribing to any traditional belief. He was only speaking to a people in their language. They understood what he meant by Abraham's bosom, so he said the word Abraham's bosom. But this was a place of comfort, a place where he was waiting for his Lord Jesus to come to deliver him from. So he was being comforted. But the worst part about it is that Dives was in the same place, but on a different frequency. For Dives could talk to him. There was communication. And Dives, the Bible did not say it was Dives. So let me stop saying Dives. The rich man, amen. The rich man was in communication with him, and he thought that they could touch him. He thought that because he was talking to them, they were in a place that they could touch him. So he said, let Lazarus put a little water on my tongue, for I am thirsty and I am in a flame of fire. Amen. He was being burnt by the lack of energy from God and spiritual food. He was being burnt because he could not draw from the realms of God any life. The reason we are comfortable here is because we have heat and we have sunlight, we have air, and we have things that the body requires. We are drawing energy from God. That's why we are comfortable in this realm. But if you should be put in a place that you couldn't die, and you get no nourishment from God, then you would be in perpetual torment. What happens to the spirits that reject God? They didn't want God, so God withdrew himself from them. And God told me that he withdraws himself from them in mercy. For he says, there would be a greater hell in heaven for any devil who were to come in the presence of God. The burning would be more terrible. Don't you understand what I'm talking about? Hell is God's extreme mercy. Now, that's tough to understand. But God radiates life and power. And any spirit that comes before God, the power is so terrible on him that if he has sin and evil within him, it will burn him. Therefore, God hides himself from those who hate him. For if God reveals himself upon those who hate him, he would destroy them. That is the reason God told Moses in the Deuteronomy, I think. He said, Moses, you are asking me to go up in the midst of Israel, but I will not go up with you. He says, if I go with you, I'll kill you. Because Israel is too sinful for me. And then God said, I'll send my presence with you. And God's presence slaughtered so many Israelites that he slaughtered more Israelites than any enemy ever slaughtered. God's presence. One day God's presence killed 30,000 Israelites. Because they went into the strange women of Moab. When Balak and Balaam concocted some plan against God, and God told Balaam the prophet, he said, tell them, bless them. He blessed them 7 times, and when he was finished, he said to Balaam, the only way you can get Israel is to make them sin. And he gave Balak the key to the destruction of Israel. And Balak didn't have to lift a sword. He sent in his sister and some more bad women into the camp of Israel. And the women destroyed the men. And the next thing happened, God marched in and killed 30,000. Amen. So the angel that Moses had with him killed more Israelites than any of the enemy ever killed. Because it was God, it was too powerful. Watch the whole scripture of the power that Moses operated with. It was a magnificent power. It was too much power. It was destructive. Amen. So we see, praise God, that God's principles of life persist within all the realms of God. And when Satan fell from the first heaven, he had 2 more heavens to go, for he wanted to put his throne above the throne of God. Therefore, he went to the next heaven to see if he could find subsistence in that heaven. But all he had was stars and suns and moons and dead energy that God had going through. These things are physical energy, which might have some spiritual energy in it. I don't know what keep the sun burning. I don't know if a thing could be burning and burning and can't finish burn. And where is the source of power coming from? They say it's helium burning, but where is the helium coming from? That sun would have been exhausted with helium. And from what I know about helium and what I don't know about helium is that I think that helium would explode long ago and tear the sun to pieces with that intense heat. But that's not my business. I know the sun is burning, and it's burning, and it's been burning a long time, and it seems it got a long time to go. But Satan, therefore, came down from the starry heavens, and he fell down upon our heaven, our realm, God told the man Adam, he said, you're king. He said, rule and reign. He said, the whole earth is yours. And Adam did rule the earth for a while, which we don't know. We don't know how old Adam was before he fell, you know. We just don't know, and it doesn't matter. But he did rule the world, and he did name the animals, and he did control the nature. He did control the weather. He did control everything. He did control the cropping of the trees, the dressing of the garden. How he did it, only God knows. But he didn't do it with his hand. That's one thing I know. He wouldn't have enough hands to do that. You see, and many people trying to make the Garden of Eden a spiritual garden and so on and so on. Okay, if the Garden of Eden is a spiritual garden, how did I come here with this natural body? If the Garden of Eden is spiritual, then the man was spiritual. He was only he wasn't a real man. And the trees weren't real either. Then where come these trees from? So I don't want to argue with anybody. But I'll just say, praise be to God, that this devil fell down to the third realm. And this is where the warfare is. Revelation 12 tells me that there's war in heaven. Satan and his angels fought against the Michael and his angels, and Michael overcome them, and he threw them out. And when he threw them out, he said, now is come salvation and glory and honor and the kingdom of our God and his Christ. So we find that the casting out of the devil out of our realm is the complete work of God, the redemption of all creation. Now, let's see if we can finish this reading. We were down in verse 21. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and the son and the nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it possess it a possession for the bittern and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. And then we turn around to Ezekiel. See if we can. We check with verse 11. Moreover, the word. Oh, sorry. Chapter 28. 28. I just feel you know all the chapters. Amen. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros. Here again, we find a natural name, a natural man being used as a type. God is showing the same thing happened to the devil is going to happen to him. The king of Tyros, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Meaning to say, brother Tyros, the same spirit that is in you was the same devil that was in Eden. You see, that was in Eden, the garden of God. Even precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now I want you to notice here what God is saying. God is not talking about natural stones. He's talking about the beauty of light. The beauty of light, just as the diamond flashes many colors of light, and each color has a meaning. Amen. You know, the redemptive power, the glory that was in him, each stone that is mentioned here carries a special glory, carries a special color, carries a special meaning. And this is what God is saying, that Satan, not Satan, but the Lucifer that was in heaven, was this mighty angel with all this glory upon him. And let's read a little more. He said, in the day that thou was created, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the angel that overshadowed heaven. With all, God would pass down his will to him, and he would overshadow heaven with this will. And all the other angels would do what the Lord said. You know, they don't speak. And if an angel says one word, it would be a whole message of days long. It's a strange thing. The more powerful an angel is, the less words he says. The only reason why we have to talk for 2 hours is because we have no power, no virtue. Amen. It could say one word and bam, it throws a picture of glory upon everybody here. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The greater the anointing, the less the words.
Yes.
The angels of great anointing, they come and they stand before you, and the anointing flood you, and you know all that they are saying. Amen. Sometimes the Lord gives me a message like this, pops, the whole message. I know exactly every chapter to turn to, and every word. I don't know the exact words I'm going to say, but it's here. I know it. I'm confident, and I just begin to speak, and it begins to flow out like the message I get here. I don't know what I would say. When I get home, I listen to it on the tape, and it's all new to me. Amen. Because I know he did like this, plops, and the whole thing is filling me, and I know I've got it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what the first word I'm going to say. As I come up, it just keeps rolling. Amen. And so, therefore, you know, sometime I'll talk your business. I'll talk what's in your mind, and I don't know. I don't know your business. I just come and say, how do you do, and start to say anything to you, and it is just prophesying to your soul, and I don't know. And I didn't know for a long time. I got in trouble all over. People begin to label me as a person that pick up news and go and preach on it and all like that. And I just knew that I didn't know. And then I got to find out that when I was talking to people, I was really saying, I made a joke with a man one day, and the man was blind mad with me, and I couldn't understand it, and I went away puzzled. So I was telling somebody else of the case, and they said, well, you shouldn't say that, because you knew so and so, and so and so and so and so. I said, I didn't know anything. You see, it means that God wanted to tell him that message, and nobody was brave enough to tell him. So I just come and made a joke with him and told him the whole thing. Yes. Amen. Once I was rejected by a whole church. I was pastoring this church, and one night I got up and was preaching. So in the midst of the preaching, I said, well, I was preaching restitution. That is, if you take away anything from anybody and you are saved, you're supposed to give back the person his thing. I mean, so I said, well, for instance, if you steal a man's cow and you say you're a Christian, why don't you give back the car? And I saw some people got up, pick up their books and walked outside. Well, I went out preaching. I didn't know what was happening. The next day, a woman came to my wife and said, well, she said, your husband must do better than that, you know, and so on. And then she began to explain that the lady, the preacher's wife who was sitting before me, the man had been arrested the day before for stealing a car. And I was telling him to give back the car. And I just using an example, you know, just an illustration. So please don't be like that. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. God has some bright ones in heaven, and God allowed the devil or Lucifer to walk up and down in them, in the midst of them, and to tell them all his doctrine of destruction. God didn't lift a finger. God just allowed them to go ahead with his destruction. Isn't that marvelous? Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So when somebody is preaching to you about God made Satan, it's a lie. God made a perfect being, perfect in his ways, just perfect. But God did not take away the ability of choice from him. Because if God took away the ability of choice from him, he would have been making a robot. And God don't want any robot to serve him. God wants beings who have chosen to serve him. So this is the situation here. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So he was one of those stones of fire. And it was very, very accurate when God told me that there were many spirits that could have been the devil. It was not only one devil, but there were many who could have been, who had the power, who had the choice of being the devil, and they didn't want to be. So you can understand that the devil was a devil by choice. Not in ignorance either, like how you and I fall into devilishness. But by knowledge, he knew exactly where the devil would end and what the devil would do, but he thought he had enough power to stop it. Amen. It comes in like God revealed to some of you brethren that so and so is going to happen out there. Your car is going to crash out there or something else like that. And instead of not going out there, you said, well, I'm going to bind it and go and crash. Because when God chose you a thing, he means that you must not do it. Amen. Don't go and say, I'm going to bind the spirit. You haven't got the power to bind the spirit after God show you that the thing is going to happen. The only way you can prevent it is by being absent. So, dear, thine heart was lifted up. That's what I mean. Oh, I can stop it, says the devil. Ah, I have the power to change the course of of this. I will take charge of the human race, and nobody can stop me from taking the heaven of God. I'll capture God's heavens, and I'll rule in them forever. And I'll give you a kingdom, and I'll give you another kingdom. And some of these mighty spirits, he offered them kingdoms, and you were that kingdom. So when the sons of God rise up in the earth, it's really, hell is really trembling, because they see the sign of destruction coming forth within us, that they are going to be destroyed. Praise be to God. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Reason of thy brightness, because I am so powerful, because I am so magnificent. Nothing can stop me now. His reason was pretty wrong. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. Those angels which he had possessed, he had defiled them. He had defiled them, said God, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. You notice what he said? Where would the fire come from? From the midst of thee. The burning that beings have in hell, it's the burning of the things that they have within them that light them on fire. Amen. They have desires in them that cannot be satiated, and it burns like fire. Like when you're hungry, you have a hunger. Brother, you ever been well hungry? I remember being hungry, and I was so hungry that I looked upon the leaves of the trees, and the impulse came in me to grab the leaves and just stuff it into my mouth. And my hands went up. Then I realized what I was doing. And I looked upon a calf that was feeding by my gate, and my mouth dropped water upon the living calf. I just felt like I could grab him and bite him up. That was hunger. I was hungry for 21 days. I was fasting, and the devil brought down hunger on me on about the 21st day. Just brought down a flood of hunger on me. And that happened to me. I resisted and went in and prayed, and I was all right again. Went outside and chopped wood. But this is the kind of thing. The hungers are burning. Terrible, fierce burning. And when spirits are divided from the human realm, where they get their feeding. Remember the Bible says spirits feed? You remember that scripture in the Psalms? Psalm 78 verse 25, I believe, says that angel food, speak of ain't God made man eat angel food. So spirits draw their energy from the realms of God. And so the demon spirits do draw their energy from human beings. That's why they suck our lives like that. That is the only ease they get from the torment, the burning that is within them. Amen. No. Praise God. So then the fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So that means now the Christ that is rising up in us is going to smite the devil right on the earth here. Amen. And God is going to change his frequency, put him off. You notice fire, burn wood, all left is ashes. You notice it? Fire burns wood, it changes the frequency, blasts it off into air, and all is left is ashes. Well, God speaks of the devil's ashes. And the only way we as men can understand the spirit language is when we have spirit images like these. The devil turned into ashes. Not because he's natural, he's going to turn into natural ashes, no. But what will be left of him will be just like the ashes that is left of the wood. Glory to God. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Talk about the restoration of the devil. Satanic doctrines. Some people would like to raise him up again. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon and prophesy against it. All right, we'll leave it at that. Praise be to God. Therefore, the capture of our inheritance is that which we look forward to. The great battle is on, and we need to redeem our souls, reclaim it from the hand of our enemies, and the souls of our human inheritance. This is the word of God unto us this morning. May God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of message, M028, The Great Deliverance.